This is North Carolina Public Radio, WUNC. I'm Phoebe Judge. When the Ebola outbreak began last year in Africa, many questioned whether it was actually true. Outspoken officials and professors claim the outbreak was a rumor. The result of that may have had devastating effects. Julian Rodemeyer, editor of Africa Check, works on trying to dispel myths and promote truth and accuracy in many issues dealing with the African continent. He'll speak at 6 tonight at the Sanford School at Duke, but he joins me now. Thanks very much for being here.
Pleasure.
How widespread was the idea that the Ebola outbreak was rumor?
I think it was fairly widespread, particularly in the early stages. You saw, you know, many scenes in places like Liberia and Sierra Leone where angry mobs gathered, stopping healthcare workers from accessing villages. There were some fairly disturbing scenes where people ransacked, for instance, a quarantine facility in Liberia and made off with bedding and contaminated items and released patients from there, claiming that, you know, there was no Ebola in that area. So I think those, you know, those myths had potentially very destructive consequences. Added to that was the sudden surge in quacks and con men spouting off about various types of cures for the virus, you know, cures which simply don't exist.
What would be an example of one of those cures they were trying to hawk?
Well, there were a number. In Nigeria, for instance, a text message began doing the rounds telling people that drinking large amounts of salty hot water would prevent the virus from attacking you, would save you from that and possibly could work as a treatment. And that had quite tragic consequences. Roughly 20 people were hospitalized. 2 people died as a result. There were others, too. There were a group of homeopaths. There was someone from the U.S., for instance, Dr. Rima Labo, who pushed a potential cure and actually wrote an open letter to the governments of various West African countries saying that the use of nanosilver particles was effective in treating Ebola. And, you know, at that stage, Nigeria had just experienced its first infection. The first patient who'd arrived in Nigeria, there was a degree of panic, and they were looking for anything possible to try and treat this. And the Nigerian health minister made a statement saying that they'd had this kind offer of this nanosilver treatment, only to backtrack about a week later. And I think those kinds of spurious health claims, and that's much of the work that we do at Africa Check, is looking at you know, quack cures, health claims, irresponsible health claims, and the damage that they can actually do.
How much damage can you try to quantify? How much damage these false rumors and quack cures actually caused?
I think it's difficult to assess that in the context of Ebola. But we have a long experience on the continent. If you look at South Africa's own history around HIV and AIDS, and that the fact that we had a president who was essentially a denialist, who rejected the idea that HIV could cause AIDS, that we had a health minister who was pushing things like the use of beetroot and garlic as a treatment. Those had devastating consequences, and you know, thousands, tens of thousands of people died as a result of that. So it's vital that those claims get, you know, are nipped in the bud fairly early on, and that there are efforts to expose them.
What do you do, or does the work that you do only after the fact, or can you actually see these rumors starting to spread and do things at the moment to try to quell them?
Yeah, I think there is a lot more that we could do and hopefully will be doing in the future. But around the time of the Ebola outbreak in March last year and then the subsequent infections in Nigeria, Nigeria is one of the key areas that we focus on. We publish quite a lot of reports there. So we did a number of reports which were carried in local newspapers looking at these various fake cures and essentially just pointing out that there is no known cure. There are tests going on and possible vaccines, but at this stage there is no known cure. And, you know, laying out what people could potentially do to protect themselves, you know, avoid direct contact with people that were suspected of having Ebola, avoid contact with bodily fluids, you know, those kinds of basic things, basic, you know, hygiene practices too.
Are there any particularities about Africa, the continent, that make the way rumors spread different than other countries? continent, different than other continents?
I think it's very hard to generalize about the African continent. You know, you look at a continent of, depending on how you define it, but, you know, between 54 and 56 countries, very diverse populations, very diverse beliefs. You know, I think rumors spread as rumors spread in most places. We have seen, you know, cases in Nigeria, for instance, where BlackBerry Messenger and text messages played a very key role in the way in which these rumors spread. And over time, the rumors changed. The same, you know, also goes for fairly limited population groupings, but people who are using social media networks. And we fact check, you know, a range of various claims that are being made on social media networks or are being spread by text message. There's also the role that journalists play. And around the Ebola epidemic, there was some particularly irresponsible reporting on the part of journalists in places like Nigeria, where some of these quacks were given space to essentially make the claims that they made about the cures that they supposedly had. And those claims went completely unchecked. You know, there was no critical reporting. And that is something that does need to be dealt with and worked on in a longer term way.
Thank you very much for speaking with me.
Oh, pleasure.
Julian Rademeyer is the editor of Africa Check. He will speak tonight at the Samford School at Duke at 6. I'm Phoebe Judge, and this is North Carolina Public Radio, WUNC.